All right, let's go to God's Word. I would like you to find the book of Titus. And if you're going to have trouble finding Titus, I looked up the page for you. It's 1370, if you're using the Pew Bible. I still want us to have Ruth in the back of our minds and the things that we learned from the book of Ruth, the quality of God. Last time we were together, we talked about this special Hebrew word that, you know, have some trouble being translated into English, and, you know, some of the versions have used this word loving kindness. And we talked about this last time, sort of that steady loyalty. It's got that flavor of loyalty and faithfulness and kindness. This word, it appears several times in the book of Ruth, and we talked about God's loving kindness to the living and to the dead, right? It's not just straightforward kindness, but there's a sense of devotion or dedication to them, persistence. And remember, Ruth's kindness to Naomi. She refused to be parted from her. And so Boaz also to Ruth, and Boaz to Naomi, and Ruth to Boaz. Psalm 136 says it 26 times, the Lord's loving kindness is everlasting. All right? Or in another version, it says, his mercy endureth forever. It says it in every verse. As if loving kindness, as if bound to the person, right? Voluntarily, I commit myself to be bound to you of my own free will. Okay, and last week we read Proverbs 3, 3, and 4, which says, let this word, loving kindness, let loving kindness and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck, and so on, and you'll find favor with God and man. Okay, and that loving loyalty is what holds Christians together. So tonight I want to relate that concept to the matter of our personal testimony, okay, your testimony and mine. Pablo has asked us to try to formulate or frame our personal testimony into a reasonably short form so that it's tellable in a couple of minutes, so that we can explain to someone what kind of change Christ has made in our life. Okay, we just sang a song about what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came in. Okay, and there's this three-part story to a testimony, right? For every person, there is a before part of the story, okay, before I came to know Christ, the BC, if you like, even if it's I was brought up in a Christian home, okay, there's still a part of your story that is, you know, the part of my life before my parents' faith became my own. And then there's before, and then followed by, and then, okay, something happened. And then after that, there is the, like, and now part of my life. So it's before and then now. And we'll see here that that's in keeping with the biblical picture or scheme of human salvation. Okay, before, then something happened, and now. So that's why I want you to look in Titus chapter 3 and see how that framework is to be overlaid over our personal testimony as Christians. Okay, so Titus 3, the verses I have for you are 1 through 9. And you'll see this framework start to become evident in verse 3. But I'm going to start in verse 1. Okay, so everybody have it, Titus 3. Okay, Paul says this. Remind the people. Paul's writing to Titus. Titus is like an elder. He's in charge of a church. He's telling Titus what to teach them. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves, here's where I want to look, we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. But when kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, He saved us through the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying. These things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men, but avoid foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions, and strivings about the law, for they're unprofitable and useless. Okay. What is a Christian testimony? How can you share your story of salvation? Okay, so start with the before part. The Word of God affirms that all alike are born under sin, right? Our first parents fell into sin, and all have sinned since then, okay? Your personal story of salvation can't leave out this fact about yourself, okay? When you're telling your testimony, don't just tell the story of where you went to church growing up or, you know, identify yourself and admit you're a sinner, okay? If anyone says, I have no sin, what's John say? He's a liar. And the word of God isn't in him. Okay, you're calling God a liar by saying, you know, I don't have sin. All men are corrupt. We have that self-worshipping, impure, God-demeaning attitude in our hearts. Okay, I'm important, God is not important. We're simply not in perfect harmony with God, and that's just the plain truth. Okay, so look what this passage of Titus says about the before part. Are you with me? Verse 3, we ourselves were also once before, we used to be foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Okay, now, before you say, well, yeah, that's pretty harsh. I mean, it's quite a list. You know, I wasn't all that bad. Just take it apart a little bit and look at it word by word and do a little bit of honest self-reflection and self-searching. Remember that this is Paul, you know, who once was an excellent Pharisee. He's the one writing this, okay? And remember what he said about himself. His righteousness, according to the law, was spot on, right? He was blameless. He's saying, we too, I too. So foolish. All right, do your study of the book of Proverbs and look at what's a fool, okay? A person who is away from God, a person who isn't living by God's principles. Okay, I too was foolish, disobedient. All right, it's plain as day. We've disobeyed God. We have His law and commandments, and we've disobeyed them. Deceived, which means I was following some wrong course of life. You know, I thought it was the right. You know what the proverb says? There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end of it is death. I was deceived. Well, I thought I was doing good for myself at least. Caught up in various pleasures and desires. All right, definitely my own case. Malice, right? Hateful feelings of hurt towards others, right? I wish to see someone else ill. I wish to see them hurt. Envy, okay, which is like jealousy, but envy is, you know, wishing others had less. You know, I wish they didn't have that. I want to see them struck down. I want to see them lower in life. Hateful and hating each other, right? Hating others. This, you have to know your own story, right? Recall your own, the things in your own heart. It's actually very healthy for us to admit our former sin, okay? Even though we may be ashamed of it, you know, I have to say, you know, I went up and kind of hurried up and said my testimony the other day, and I'm thinking, boy, I'm saying things about myself that I wish people didn't know. You know, we like it when people think well of us, and it's embarrassing to have to admit to our sins and to our ungodliness. But look, this is what the Lord requires of us, perfect honesty, okay? And there's a proverb that says, he who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. Okay, there's not a lot of We've been talking about interpretation and application, and that's not that hard to interpret, is it? Okay, he who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. It's not hard to interpret, it's not hard to apply. Okay, God says, can two walk together unless they are agreed? Right, you have to agree with God about your sin. And he says, if you humble yourself, he'll exalt you, and if you exalt yourself, you're going to be humbled. Even the Apostle Paul admitted, I was once a blasphemer, violent, and an insolent man. Are we better than Paul? Okay, I don't want to expose the bad things that I've done. You know, I guess I find it especially embarrassing to talk about them in front of my family. But I can say that in my younger years, I was a fool. I was disobedient. And an immoral person. Okay, I had been led astray. I was led astray, deceived by temptation, by various lusts and pleasures. I did have low, unworthy thoughts toward other people, including malice and envy. I hurt people. I hurt their feelings. I hurt myself. And I was not concerned with purity and holiness. So those things are sin. I lived in sin. Okay, if you asked people that knew me, is Alex a good person? Probably most people would say, you know, yes, I think so, but that doesn't matter what people think. What does God think? What does God say? God, who knows the whole story, God who sees the things that I do when nobody's looking, God who watches me, you know, pollute my brain and my heart with unclean things, God who hears me curse under my breath, God who heard me, you know, degrade other people and you know, saw me take something that wasn't mine and dishonor my parents and disobey the law. Well, what about you? Here Paul says, we too once were foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy. Does that get kind of an amen from you? I mean, does that hit you somewhere? Don't tell me that you're one of these people who says, you know what, no, I never really had to change. You know, I've always tried to do my best. Because I think in that case, it's right now that you're deceived and foolish. Because we're born in sin. That's what the Bible says. All are under sin. Okay, so there we were, right? This is the before part. We too were once. But then, okay, now call to your mind the God of Ruth, the God of Naomi, and the God of Boaz. God stepped in. God who has not left off his kindness to the living or the dead. God who is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. God who causes his sun to shine on the righteous and the unrighteous alike. Verse 4, Titus 3, 4. But when... Okay, I think Greek is like English. There's no one word for this Hebrew word, so you use multiple words. The kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we ever did, but according to his mercy he saved us. I think if you take kindness, mercy, and love and mush them into one thing, you get close to the target, right? He saved us. We want to hear that part of your testimony. Okay? People need to hear it, unsaved people. God's loving kindness to you, to me. God's mercy to a wandering sinner, deceived, carnal, going astray, kind of in the situation of Naomi, right? In a terrible bind, nowhere to turn. Paul says, what a wretched man I am. How am I going to be delivered from this body of death? Well, thanks be to God. He his loving kindness endures forever. Okay, how specifically, though, did God show his grace to us, to me? Okay, some people, you hear them talk about their spiritual past, and they mention God, they mention the church, they mention the pastor, they might mention a miracle cure, or, you know, getting over an addiction, or, you know, a wonderful woman that came into their life, something like that. But with all due respect, those are not specifically Christian testimonies, are they? Okay, how did God save me? See in verse 5, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, verse 6, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Okay, how did God demonstrate his love for us? Here's a verse that you should have memorized, Romans 5, 8, that God demonstrates his love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Okay, those last four words, every single one of them is crucial. Christ, he died. He died for, in my place, he died for us. Okay, Christ died for us. My sin required the bloody sacrifice of the Son of God, and that bloody sacrifice was sufficient to pay my ransom. And that is the kindness of God, right? God gave his Son. Christ died for me. Okay, God poured out his grace on me abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Okay, before I was foolish, carnal, hurtful, filled with sin, bound for eternal death, fit to be judged, but then the kindness of God, right? The kindness and love of God toward man appeared. And the song says, oh happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away, right? He saved me. Not, okay, specifically not, you see in verse 5, not because I was good, just the opposite, despite my being bad. Okay, this is so important. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy. I was blind, now I see. Jesus opened my eyes. I was dirty, Jesus washed me. I was hateful, Jesus loved me and gave himself for me. Is there a space for that in your 3-minute testimony? Okay, make a space for that. Before I was, but then the kindness of God our Savior to me in Jesus Christ appeared, and he washed me, he saved me. Do you even think of your relationship with God primarily in terms of his saving you from sin? Okay, his saving kindness to us isn't mainly shown in his giving us a home, giving us good health, providing us with daily food. His kindness is primarily shown to us in washing away our sins in the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay, the scripture says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but are justified freely by his, well, it says grace, but it's a substitute, the same word you could put in, his loving kindness, right? God's kindness to us through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ through faith, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood. Okay, so through faith, that if you confess with your mouth, right, if I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and I believe in my heart, that's the word faith, if I believe in my heart God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved, right? This is God's kindness. He condescends to give us this simple thing to do, right? He washes us clean because of faith. Whoever believes on him will never be put to shame, no matter what it is that I did. Okay, the Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's God's faithfulness, right? He makes a promise. You meet the conditions of the promise. The promise holds. Okay? That's the but then part of the testimony. Okay, the until part, right? Once we were this, but then the kindness and love of God, my Savior, appeared to me. I heard the good news. Christ died for me. I believed it. Bible says whoever believes in him shall never be put to shame. The promise stuck. He washed me clean, gave me a new heart. And it says he poured out his grace on me abundantly. Okay? That's important for people to hear from you, right? That an abundance of kindness was involved in putting away your sin. God was very so kind to me. Okay? And I think we read it in one of our 7 stories of hope, that the one who was forgiven much loves much. And whoever thinks his sin is a little thing, well, you only love a little, right? God poured out his grace on me through Jesus Christ. I know he forgave me of a lot of sin. So thirdly, then there's the and now part of the Christian testimony. Who am I now? What am I now? Okay, so let's look here. You'll see that it's here. So for starters, you have verse 7. It says that having been justified by his grace, so now we are justified by his grace, we should become heirs. We have become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So now I'm going to live forever. Christ is going to bring me into his kingdom. I'm justified. That's the word here. I'm justified, which means that now, as opposed to once, now my record is clean. Now I've been given a share to I've been given title to a share of the world to come. That's already mine. It belongs to me right now. God, in kindness, he did that to me in his loving mercy. Okay, before I was lost in sin, then Jesus Christ came in. Now I have a new name written down in glory. Okay, I have hope that nothing will ever separate me from his love. Not old age, not persecution, not turmoil in the world, not even the devil himself. I am part of God's family. He made me his child, and he's my father. That's one thing, okay? There's more to the and now part besides that, and so I think you can see that in verses 8 and 9. Not just my standing, but now this is my conduct. It says that those who, I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works for the good and profit of others, right? They ought to avoid foolish disputes and quarrels and, you know, misguided religious ideas and anything that takes away credit from the Lord Jesus, anything that would start to sow doubt and dissension, right? If you're truly my disciple, you love one another as I've loved you. That same, okay, the same quality that Christ showed us, that mercifulness, peaceable, gentleness, goodwill toward men, that giving quality of God, that's now. That's how I live now. Okay, that's part of a Christian testimony. Okay, the before part, the until part. Now I want people to be blessed. Now I don't even really hate my enemies. You know, I would rather see my enemies come to a knowledge of repentance and receive God's grace and, you know, be made new. I would want to see them choose life in Christ. If I can be profitable to them, then praise God. Okay, and then go back up to the top where we started, 1 and 2. This is also part of the now part. You see, it's kind of out of order, but all the elements are there. He says, remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, speak evil of no man, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all people, right? So now I'm a person of model character, good citizenship, good works. I'm restored to what a human being ought to be. Okay, we've been singing it in choir, right? I've been changed. It's more than a song. It's got to be a reality. I once was. I've been changed. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, right? I once was, but then now. And if there's other people around me that are still in this state of natural-born spiritual deadness, I just remember I too was once that. Okay, I was foolish, disobedient, deceived, and instead of hating them, really I feel sort of in my guts, I feel a pity for them, a mercy toward them, not pride. What he says here, humility toward all men. Okay, for we once were also. You know where you came from. You know what you used to be. Your testimony ought to declare that by the grace of God, I now am what I am. Okay, like I said, his faithfulness, this word from Ruth, his faithfulness, his loving kindness. You can trust his word. Like Ruth's word to Naomi, when she said, I am not going to leave you, you could take that to the bank. Same with Boaz, he made this oath to Ruth, as the Lord lives, I surely will perform the duty for you today. Right? God said, if a repentant sinner comes to me, I will receive him. And God doesn't lie, so I know that it's true for me, it's true for you, he'll receive anybody. Okay, formulate your testimony. Okay, try to put it into a structure like this. Take some time to think about your personal history. your spiritual history, if I could put it this way, your sin history, examine your conscience. What do you know about yourself? And again, I'll just restate, I mean something other than the temporal blessings that God has blessed you with. Okay, I'm not asking you, your testimony is not the same thing as counting your blessings. Do you know what I mean? You have family, you have home, you have health, you have a job, you have friends, you have church. Who is Jesus to you? That's the thing. How does Jesus figure into that hinge in your life, that turning point? Is there a BC and an AD in your life? Okay, before, but then, and now. All right, to finish up, I just want you to listen. This is 1 Timothy 1:12, so if you just back up a few pages, you'll find it, 1 Timothy 1. This is Paul's testimony in a nutshell. You can see it in more words, of course, in the book of Acts. But 1 Timothy 1:12, this is Paul's testimony, and if you're careful to look, you can hear the same three elements. Again, I think they're a little bit out of order, but they're all there. There's a before, then, and now. 1 Timothy 1:12, he says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, who has given me strength, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a violent or insolent man. But then I obtained mercy because I did it in ignorance and in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith, with the faith and love with which are in Christ Jesus. There's that little collection of words again, his grace, his faithfulness, his love, his kindness to me. Okay, all of those things are there, right? And he kind of gives you the now first, you know, now I'm in Christ's service, and then there's the before and then the then. But okay, how about you? Before Christ came in, and then Christ came in, and then since Jesus came into my heart, I've been changed. You're a happy man or a woman if you can say, in loving kindness, Jesus came, my soul in mercy to reclaim, and from the depths of sin and shame, by grace he lifted me from sinking sand. He lifted me with tender hand. He lifted me from shades of night to plains of light. Praise his name. He lifted me. Amen. Let's praise his name. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your wonderful kindness to men and women, Lord. Thank you for your love for us, your presence in our life, your saving death and life. Lord, I for one am deeply moved studying the things of Passover night and Gethsemane and the Lord's Supper, and we're looking ahead towards your arrest and suffering and crucifixion and death, and to think of what you endured to save us poor little ones who were not thinking about you. And thank you that you encourage us, Lord Jesus, to just lift up our faces to heaven and receive your blessing now. And though it's good to remember our history and to be able to tell others where we've come from, for now it's enough, Lord Jesus, just to receive your blessing and to know that the things that are in the past are gone, and our sins will be forgotten, and that you've made us sons and daughters of God. We love you, Lord Jesus. We love each other. We love the lost. We would like to see someone turn, someone come. We pray, Lord, for one this year. We ask you, Father, to each of us, to put somebody in our life that we can tell our own story to and relate it to a Bible story of a repentant sinner and a gracious God. Thank you for the Lord's Day that we've shared together. Lord, from beginning to end, you've been with us. You promised to be with us all the way into the future. Make us fruitful. Give us your peace. Give us joy. Give us something to do, Lord, to put our hands to, so that we can give you thanks and serve you well. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.